From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the fourth day of February 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll visit a farm auction machinery from this morning. I'll tell you a little bit about that FSA and MFP payment that you may get as soon as the end of this week. We'll take a look at the weather forecast, and we'll talk about the agricultural energies as well. In Chicago today, corn finished up 3.5 cents at 382.25 for the March, the May 3.5 higher, July up 3.25, and December of next year up 3.25. It finished at 392.75. And soybeans in the March contract up 2.5 cents at $8.79.5, the May at 893, 2.25 higher, July a penny and 3/4 higher, and November up 1.75. It finished at 918.25. The bean oil, 44 cents higher. The bean meal down $1.30 for the day. Wheat futures finished the soft red up a penny at 554.5. Live cattle futures in the April contract at $120.65, 100 pounds, down 7.5 cents. And the March feeder cattle for the day finished at 85 cents higher, 137.50. The lean hogs at 56.75, up 45 cents for the day. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, to take a look at what I guess I'll call a turnaround Tuesday, although not everything was down yesterday. Wayne, hi, thanks for being with us. Tell me about what you saw in the marketplace for the day.
Well, we come in this morning and there seemed to be a little better attitude. The Chinese had pumped a lot of money into their economy, saying that they were a little farther along, maybe getting things controlled. And we keep hearing in Thailand and different laboratories in the U.S. that they're finding some things that might work on the coronavirus. And so that was all a little bit positive. The stock markets were back up and things seemed to be rolling along. And then we sold off a little bit as the day went on, as we heard rumors that they might say, hey, this is an act of God, or that isn't how they would phrase it, but how we would figure in our contracts that this coronavirus might slow them down a little bit, and we might have to give them a little bit of time to start in buying extremely fast. But then on the other hand, we heard that they would maybe need some food real fast. The biggest problem is, do they have the people to unload it and get it where it needs to go?
Yeah, so this is part and parcel of whether or not the Chinese will meet the negotiations of the Phase 1 trade deal that the Trump administration announced earlier this month then.
Yeah, I mean, basically along the way, I think that we've got a very good chance, if they can get it to the right place, of selling some pork. We're the cheapest in the world on our corn now, and maybe some other things. But we do have some ships sitting in port there, and because of the rulings that they're not supposed to be traveling here and there, we're having trouble maybe getting some of these ships unloaded right now. But if they need the food, I think they'll find a way to get it unloaded and get it bought. So we are hoping to see some, and along with that, we also had infection of the chickens over there too. So that's one of the things that's cutting back, and they were having to kill some of the chickens, and they've been using those to substitute for the pork. So it could also add more need for some more meat over in China.
Yeah, I think H5N1, sometimes referred to as a bird flu. Again, lots of problems, lots of things happening in China. We are, however, in the middle of the month of February, and we'll be setting a price for crop insurance for both corn and soybeans. For corn, for the past 3 years, I think that's been $3.96 or $4. Any chance we'll manage to make that in the December contract this year?
Well, we'd sure like to see a few good things happen and get at least up to that $4 guarantee again. And we're quite a bit below where we were last year on the beans also, so at $9.19 here. So we'd sure like to see a little rally coming along somewhere in this month. But we'll have to say that along with the good weather in South America, the coronavirus and a few things, it might be hard to get a good rally going. The one thing that could do it is if WASDE does implement into their demand some of the figures of the increased demand from China because of the Phase 1 program. But we're not sure that that's going to happen. We sure hope that it does, because that could be the stimulus that could bring these prices up.
I suppose we'll find that out next week, won't we?
We will. It'll either be lots of fun or a whole lot of no fun if they don't put some of that demand back in.
Those MOSDI numbers are due out on Tuesday, February the 11th, so a week from today. Any other items on the news or the marketplace that we should take up?
Like I say, we are seeing maybe a little too much rain in parts of Southern America, and that can delay some of the corn planting down there. And also, it was announced that the third and last MFP payment should be out by the end of the week. So we should be looking for a little check in the mail here late this week.
Indeed. We'll talk more about that in just a bit. Hey, thanks so much, Wayne. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He will be one of 16 analysts that join us at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, less than a month away now on Tuesday, March the 3rd. You can as well, willag.org, to buy your tickets. And the cost there is just $30. For that $30, you get the 16 analysts, a great day, a morning roll and coffee from the Beef House, and a Beef House lunch. willag.org, buy your tickets today.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We had some terms and opening remarks and introductions on behalf of Sarah Lesson and her family. We'd like to welcome you here today. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would direct your attention right here, the young lady in the purple coat, give her a big wave, Sarah Lesson right there. Sarah is the person we're working for here today, and we appreciate the opportunity to work for her. Let's give her and our father-in-law, Bill Lesson, a big round of applause, because, ladies and gentlemen, they've come together. They worked real hard. We've had a lot of good neighbors come, friends and neighbors. We just can't tell you enough all the support they've given to these people. So on behalf of them, we'd like to thank you very much. Bill and his son farmed for many, many years here, and then Bill retired and Dale took over, and ladies and gentlemen, you all know the story that Dale has passed away. So let's give a good sale to a good family. With me here is my good friend Larry Pickett. He's our clerk.
Well, if you follow my Twitter account, you know I'm out and about today at the Dale Lesson Machinery Auction this morning. Mike Mosky from Mosky Auctioneer Services is here. He's running the auction today. Mike, this will take place today during the day. I want to know, though, from you, as you've been making your way through this 2019-2020 winter, what the feel is like in the countryside at this point as it relates to how farmers have available cash and income to go ahead and make purchases.
You know, thanks for coming. I really appreciate it. You know, our sales have been very, very, very strong this last fall and into this winter. I see a lot of optimism with these guys. You know, the farm machinery prices are so expensive, brand new, and that's kind of pulling the used equipment up. But, you know, I see a lot of optimism from a lot of people buying good, clean, used equipment. You know, some of that older stuff that's got a lot of hours on it that's pretty tough, it's pretty common. But this good, clean, low-hour used equipment is selling at a premium.
How does the MFP payment reflect into what you think is happening on the farm?
You know, I really can't tell you, but anytime you put money in somebody's pocket, they're going to spend it.
What's your expectations here today?
Well, this is an estate auction for Dale Lesson that passed away at 58 years old, and it's a clean sale. You know, an estate like this is always a very, very good sale because you know that it's not going back into the shed. So I expect a good turnout, good prices, and, you know, it just tells you if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. And we're saddened that he passed away.
That's Mike Mosky, of course. He is the auctioneer here at the Dale Lesson Farm, the machinery going up for sale today. Dale's wife, Sarah, now joins us. Sarah, first, I'm so sorry. I know it's hard. And I asked a friend of ours about the combine. I was surprised when I saw that it was a 2019. Dale actually never got to use it. That's just got to be really, really tough. I'm going to ask you some questions. Hopefully you'll be able to answer them for me. How hard is it to go through this process? It's family, it's business, it's really kind of both.
Well, luckily I've got a lot of support with family and friends and lots of local farmers. They pitched in from day one, helped get through harvest. They've helped move equipment. They've helped me go through everything. Half the stuff, honestly, I didn't even know what it was. So some of the tools and things. So I've had a lot of help and support. It's not been easy. You know, losing someone's never easy, and especially when it was unexpected, you don't have time to prepare yourself. So it's just shocking when you know, your loved one is just suddenly gone.
Yeah, so looking forward, I know the farm won't be here, at least the machinery won't be here. But as now a woman in agriculture, you'll have to work through this process. You have a big learning curve in front of you at this point?
I'm not going to continue farming. I'm going to have somebody farm the ground that Dale and I owned. And, of course, the equipment's all going to be gone. It's just too much. It was a hard harvest trying to get through all this. And Dale did most everything. So, yes, it was hard to learn how to price crops. And like I said, though, I had help from a lot of people or I wouldn't have made it through the fall.
So 1 year was enough for you, yes, in that case, right?
Yes, yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, and now that we're through it, I could probably, with some help, figure out how to do a lot of these things I didn't know how to do before, but it's too late now because I'm not interested in keeping anything or continuing. You know, it wasn't my passion, it was his passion.
So for you, the farm still will provide a living though going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's a good thing about being in a business, in a farm, in a way of life. And it will sustain you and the rest of the family.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. And this is what I'm used to, you know, this lifestyle, these people living in the country. So even though he's gone, I'm a city girl turned country girl when I married Dale.
Yeah. So you look around the machine shed here, and by the way, a very nice machine shed. It's filled with people you know.
Oh, yeah. Half the people in here are friends or relatives just coming by for support, even if they're not buying anything. I've got friends that came from out of state just to be with me today for support.
That's so nice. I know the future will hold good things for you. I'm positive. And I'm so glad you had a chance to join the world of agriculture over time. It had to be great for you, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. Dale was an awesome farmer and loved it. That was his passion. That and racing. But he enjoyed it a lot, and I could never see him at an office desk sitting there working like that after having experienced farm life from a young age. So this was the life for him. And after he passed, he was able to donate his organs. And so we thought he was a hero before, but now that he's able to save all these other lives, he's the superhero in the eyes of myself and my family.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you tell me right there, Craftsman tool wrenches right there, $50, $25. Starts at 10, now 15, 15, now 20, 20, 25. And $30 right there, $35, now $40, now $45, $50, we're going to get a 50 now, $55, so 60. $60 down, 65, 60 bid right there, boys. 65 one time, we're going to get 65, sold right there, $60 together, what's your number, boys? Hey, right there, number one, number one. Hey, little impact, and here we go, boys. 50 on a little impact, 25. Starts at 10, 20, 20 right there, 20.
Well, I've been on the road most of the day. From that farm auction, I traveled to the local FSA office to file some paperwork. That's normal for landowners and producers alike. And I asked them a question about the pronouncement made by U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue yesterday that the third tranche of the MFP payment would be delivered and that it would be coming potentially by the end of this week. They were, in fact, in the middle of processing those checks for producers. And I asked them a follow-up question. I wanted to know why it was that a letter came in the mail announcing that the check would be coming in the mail very soon. It has to do with the way USDA FSA works with the Treasury Department. Don Day from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming now joins us to talk about the global regions that grow agricultural products across the planet. I think I want to stick kind of in the United States and discuss some of the snowfall and those systems that have been crossing through the early part of this week and through the rest of the week. What do we know about them?
Well, we've got a pretty active weather pattern, really. We have a large trough that's getting carved out over the western United States from the west coast and into the western high plains. And when this happens, we tend to see systems come out of that large trough that move across to the Midwest and eventually into the Great Lakes. And what this is going to do over the next week to 10 days is make for a very wet weather pattern for the south central and southeast United States. It's also going to mean some winter weather. They're going to see some ice and snow as far south as some areas of central and west central Texas tonight and into tomorrow. There's areas just north of Dallas under a winter storm watch, which isn't something you see very often. We're going to see a lot of rain in the southeast, south central, and on the northwest edge of this precipitation shield. We see snow across a lot of the Corn Belt, Midwest, Upper Great Lakes, and High Plains and Rockies. A lot of winter weather. No one's going to be brutally cold, Todd, but we're going to see plenty of winter weather. The exception will be the southeast and the far eastern areas of the United States, which will have above-average temperatures.
I recall early in the season, about the turn of the year to 2020, that North Dakota, in fact, had had as much snowfall for the winter season as they would in a normal whole year. Can you tell me about what snowfall has been like and whether it's been sticking around, whether it's melted, and then now coming back?
Well, there was a little bit of a break. The month of January, at least the second half of January, I don't want to call it a thaw, but we didn't see nearly as many storms. That's starting to ratchet up again. And so what we're likely going to see, especially in the southern end of the Dakotas, South Dakota, and then into portions of Minnesota. You know, those are the areas that I see more snow falling there than in North Dakota, but there will be other opportunities in the month of February for them to add to their snow totals. Some of those areas that were really hard hit earlier this month, or later in January, South Dakota, southern Minnesota, northern Iowa, I do see them getting back into the snow machine again.
All right. And then looking forward, have you thought very much about the beginning of the growing season across the Delta region and then working its way through the southwestern portion of the Corn Belt?
Well, right now, if we were to extrapolate some of the trends that we're seeing, and it may be a bit early to be talking about the spring season, but we certainly see that at least the south central and southeast United States is going to be the warmest through the rest of February into early March. And I do think that's going to affect some of that western and southwest areas of the Corn Belt, while more of a typical early spring pattern for areas further north. I think we'll probably have some colder, wet conditions hanging on a little bit longer into spring in some of those northern and western areas.
Hey, thanks so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Don't forget to buy those tickets for the All-Day Agricultural Outlook. That's coming up on the third day of March. It's not very far away now. We'll have 16 analysts, just $30 for the whole day event at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. And we'll start the day off with a roll and coffee, and you get a Beef House lunch, too. You can't buy that anywhere for $30 and get 16 analysts. Well, you can. You can do it online right now at willag.org, willag.org. Harry Cooney from GrowMark is now here. He usually joins us once a month to talk about the agricultural energies, although I'd like to start, Harry, with just energy on its own. The coronavirus has been having an impact across the financial, energy, and agricultural sectors as it relates to commodities. And I see that crude oil overnight went below $50 a barrel. Can you tell me about the interactions?
Well, good afternoon, Todd. You're exactly right. Crude oil did dip its head under $50 a barrel. We'll see how the market ends the day today, but overnight there, yeah, get down to almost 49.5, and so the concern is that the virus is cutting into world energy demand, especially jet fuel demand, and in those reductions in demand brings reductions in price. So the What this does, though, this has uncovered some great bargains for end users. That's what the whole sell-off has accomplished for end users. So we're getting some opportunities here that we never thought we'd be able to get just a month or two ago.
What kind of opportunities?
Well, when you look at the several of the commodities in energy, you start with the propane market. It's kind of early to start thinking about propane for next the contractor for next fall's grain drying and next winter's home heat. However, when you look at the propane market, we're back down to some lows that we haven't seen for a number of years. And anytime you get down to lows like this, if you can put your blinders on and just buy it and not worry why it's there or anything, over time you tend to be glad you made the purchases. Now, like I say, don't come back next week or the week after and look at it then because it could look ugly. It's hard to pick bottoms. It's almost impossible for me to do that. But for end users, these are great opportunities in propane. Then you go over to the diesel fuel market. Diesel fuel is not quite as big of a bargain as the propane, but diesel fuel is also sold off significantly. And so there's opportunities there to be contracting, and we've already had a lot of contracting by our FS member cooperatives. End users are seeing these prices as bargains.
Do you make these recommendations based on an historical perspective, for instance, with SARS or other problems that have cropped up, especially out of China over the last decade and a half or so?
We make our recommendations based on historicals. We look at seasonal price studies. We look at just the overall price, where it's at compared to history. Are you in the lower half of the historical range? Are you in the lower 20% of it? Like in propane now, you're probably in the lower 20% of the past 10 or 15 year range for propane, for example. So we look at charts. So we look at a number of items before we come up with buying recommendations.
What is the trade of thinking about coronavirus and the duration of the problem?
Well, for now, it seems like that the market feels that it's getting contained over in China. However, it's closely monitoring around the rest of the world because obviously it seems like it can spread pretty easily. But the impact on demand, the impact on fuel demand is still what the market is trying to balance. And every day it gives us a price, the market does, on where it feels the balance of supply and demand is at. And so far, the energy markets have continued their overall sell-off, even though today here we've been higher for a while. But overall, the downtrend, I can't say there's any bottom in it just yet, but these levels are getting to be some great opportunities for end users to take advantage of.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Harry Cooney of GrowMark. Thanks so much to him for joining us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. You may listen to us on demand at willag.org. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.